All right, welcome in everyone to another deep dive here. Today, we're going to be looking at something kind of a bit of a niche topic, but one that really brings together a couple of really important areas that are relevant to almost all of you out there.
Yeah.
We're talking about kind of the intersection of real estate law and consumer protection law, specifically through this Texas Supreme Court case, Alvarado v. Bolton. Have you heard of this one?
I have, yeah. It's an interesting one for sure. Kind of gets at that tension between the old school kind of ideas of contract law, you know, what happens when a deal is done, what happens, you know, versus, you know, kind of the realities of the marketplace and consumers trying to navigate that. So
absolutely. And I think especially for those of you out there who are thinking about going into, you know, any kind of transactional law, real estate, obviously,
right,
but really any kind of deals, this is the kind of case that that really highlights how things can get tricky.
Oh, for sure.
So we're going to really be focusing on this idea of the merger doctrine, which I'm sure you've come across, and how it sort of bumps up against the Texas Deceptive Trade Practices Act, or the DTPA, as it's, you know, affectionately called.
Right.
So before we get too deep into the weeds here, maybe just for folks who might be less familiar, what exactly is this merger doctrine in real estate? Like, what's the basic idea there?
Sure. So basically, it's this old common law concept. It basically says that when you have a real estate transaction and you've got that initial contract, that earnest money contract, that sort of lays out the basic terms of the deal,
mm-hmm.
right? And then later on, you get that final deed, the actual transfer of the property.
Right.
The idea is that everything from that initial contract, all those promises, all those terms, they kind of get absorbed, they get merged into that final deed. And that deed is supposed to be kind of like the be-all, end-all of the agreement. So once that deed is signed, sealed, delivered, that's it. Everything from before kind of disappears, legally speaking. It's all in that deed now.
Okay, so it's sort of like that final deed is like the ultimate expression of what you've agreed to.
Exactly, yeah. It's supposed to be like the final word, the culmination of all those negotiations and agreements that led up to it.
Okay, I got it. So where does the DTPA come into play in this whole thing?
Well, so the DDPA is a whole separate statutory scheme. It's specifically designed to protect consumers from being, you know, taken advantage of from deceptive practices in the marketplace. And it's a pretty powerful law. It gives consumers a lot of rights and remedies if they can prove that a seller or a business was being, you know, misleading or deceptive in their dealings. So the conflict arises when you've got a situation like in this Alvarado case, where there are promises made in that initial earnest money contract
yeah.
that don't end up in the final deed. And then because of that difference, the buyer feels like they've been, you know, misled, they've been harmed.
Mm.
So the question becomes, does the merger doctrine completely block them from bringing a claim under the DTPA, even if they feel like there's been a deceptive practice?
So the question is, can you use the DTPA to kind of look back behind that final deed and say, hey, wait a minute, what about this promise that was made earlier on?
Exactly. And that's really what the Texas Supreme Court had to grapple with in this Alvarado case.
Okay, so let's get into the actual facts of this Alvarado case, because I think that's really going to help to illustrate this tension. So what was going on, what happened here, and who are the parties involved?
Okay, so the story starts back in 1973 with a guy named David Bolton. He buys this 50-acre tract of land, but there's a little twist. He only ends up buying half the mineral rights to the property. The other half of the mineral rights stayed with whoever had them before.
Okay.
Fast forward a bit, Bolton decides to subdivide this 50 acres into 26 smaller tracts, and he starts selling them off. And this is where our other main character, Eusebio Alvarado, comes in, along with some other folks. They buy a few of these tracts from Bolton.
Okay, so far, pretty standard real estate stuff, right?
Yeah, pretty typical, except here's where it gets a little sticky. When Bolton is selling these tracts, the earnest money contracts he's using, they generally promise a general warranty deed free and clear of encumbrances. Now, you know, that's the kind of language that makes buyers feel good. It basically means you're getting clean title, no hidden problems.
Right, right. You're getting what you think you're getting, no surprises.
Exactly. But here's the catch. Some of those earnest money contracts, they actually mentioned that Moulton was keeping his half of the mineral rights.
Okay.
But others didn't mention it at all.
So you've got this variation in the initial contracts.
Right, exactly. Which is already a bit of a red flag. You know, why are some contracts mentioning it and others not? What kind of expectations are being set up? But here's the real kicker. When the final deeds are actually handed over to Alvarado and the other buyers, Every single deed, without exception, says that Bolton is keeping half the mineral rights. So despite what some of those contracts might have said or not said, the final legal document says Bolton's keeping those minerals.
Oh, I see where this is going.
Right. So everything's fine and dandy until oil is discovered on the land.
Yeah.
And suddenly those mineral rights are worth a whole lot of money.
Yeah, that tends to happen.
It does, doesn't it? And that's when Alvarado and the other buyers realize that Bolton is still holding on to this potentially very valuable asset, and they're not happy about it.
So they sue.
They sue, mm-hmm. alleging, you know, deceptive trade practices and breach of contract and all sorts of things. And this is where the case really gets interesting.
Right.
So the case goes to trial, and the jury comes back with a really crucial finding. They find that Bolton actually intended to sell the mineral rights when he was making those initial deals with Alvarado and the others. But then when it came to actually putting it in writing in those deeds, he changed his mind and decided to keep the mineral rights for himself.
Mm-hmm.
And the jury also finds that this change, this switch from what was promised in those early contracts, actually caused economic harm to Alvarado and the other buyers.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you think you're buying something free and clear and then it turns out you're not and there's oil under it, that's yeah. a pretty big deal.
Right. It is. So based on this jury verdict, the trial court rules in favor of Alvarado. And they say, yeah, this looks like a violation of the DTPA.
Seems pretty straightforward so far. So what happened next?
Well, Bolton, obviously, he appealed. He wasn't too happy with that decision. And this is where the merger doctrine really takes center stage.
Okay.
The appeals court actually reversed the trial court's decision. They sided with Bolton, and their reasoning was basically, look, sure, there might have been some discrepancy between the initial promises and the final deed.
Yeah.
But the merger doctrine says, tough luck. The deed is the final document. That's what controls. So those earlier promises, they're gone. They're merged into the deed. They don't matter anymore.
So the appeals court is saying basically the DTPA is irrelevant here.
Kind of. They're basically saying that even if there was a deceptive practice, the merger doctrine kind of trumps it in this case. It's like a legal technicality that basically lets Bolton off the hook, even if his actions were, you know, questionable.
But then the Texas Supreme Court steps in.
They do, thankfully.
Yeah.
Because otherwise this would have been a very different story. They agree to hear the case. And this is where things get really interesting for anyone interested in, you know, real estate law and how these consumer protection statutes actually work in practice.
Yeah, because at this point, you've got this head-to-head clash between a very old established common law principle, the merger doctrine, and this very powerful consumer protection statute, the DTPA.
Yeah.
So what did the Texas Supreme Court ultimately decide?
Well, this is the part that's really significant, I think, for anyone buying or selling real estate, especially in Texas. The Supreme Court actually sides with Alvarado. They say that the merger doctrine doesn't automatically prevent a buyer from making a claim under the DTPA, even if the deed seems to contradict those earlier promises.
So they're basically saying that you can't use this merger doctrine as like a shield to get away with deceptive practices.
Exactly. Yeah. You can't just hide behind the deed and say, well, it's all merged now, so whatever I said before doesn't matter.
Mm.
The court is essentially saying, no, we're not going to let you use this legal doctrine to undermine the whole point of consumer protection.
I like that. So let's break down the court's reasoning here, because I think this is where it gets really important for folks to understand what this ruling actually means. What were the key points that the Supreme Court made in reaching its decision?
Well, one of the big things they emphasized was that the DTPA, it's not just some, you know, restatement of the common law.
Mm-hmm.
It's a separate law passed by the legislature with a very specific purpose. And that purpose is to protect consumers. So they basically said that if we just let the merger doctrine completely wipe out any DTPA claim, then it would basically make the DTPA kind of useless in a lot of situations.
It would be like saying, yeah, we have this law to protect you from deceptive practices, but only if they happen to be mentioned in the final deed.
Right, which would be, you know, ridiculous. So the court said, look, the jury already found that there was an express warranty about those mineral rights in the initial earnest money contracts. You know, they found that Bolton had promised to sell those rights, and then he went back on that promise.
Right. And that seems pretty deceptive.
It does. And the court basically said the DTPA gives buyers like Alvarado the right to sue over that kind of breach of promise, even if the deed contradicts it. It's like the DTPA gives you this extra layer of protection that can go beyond what's just written in that final deed.
So it's like the court is saying, hey, we're not going to let this kind of legal technicality, this merger doctrine, completely gut the whole purpose of the DTPA.
Exactly.
Okay, but we got to talk about the dissenting opinion here, because there was a pretty strong dissent in this case, right? What did the justices who disagreed with the majority have to say?
Yeah, so Justice Wallace, he wrote the dissent, and his main argument was that the court was essentially overstepping its bounds and creating new law.
Okay.
He basically said, look, the merger doctrine is a well-established legal principle, and it's there for a reason.
It creates certainty.
Exactly. And he was worried that by allowing the DTPA to kind of poke holes in the merger doctrine, the court was creating a lot of uncertainty and potentially opening the door to, a flood of lawsuits and just generally making real estate transactions more complicated and unpredictable.
So his concern is basically that this ruling could make it harder for people to know what they're actually getting when they buy or sell property.
Right, because now you have to worry about not just what's in the final deed, but also what was promised, weeks or months earlier in those initial contracts. And he felt like that could lead to a lot of confusion and, potentially more litigation.
So it's kind of a classic legal debate,
It
right?
is, yeah.
On the one hand, you have this desire for clear, predictable rules, and you want to avoid chaos and uncertainty in, something as important as buying and selling land. And on the other hand, you have this need to protect consumers from being taken advantage of, from people making promises they don't intend to keep.
Exactly. And in this case, the majority of the court felt that the consumer protection concerns outweigh the potential for uncertainty.
Okay, so let's zoom out a bit here. I think this case really highlights some important things for lawsuit, especially those who are, interested in real estate or consumer law, or really just anyone who might buy or sell property someday. What are some of the key takeaways from Alvarado v. Bolton?
Well, first and foremost, I think this case is a stark reminder that you absolutely have to scrutinize every single document in a real estate transaction.
Don't just skim it.
Don't just skim it, read the fine print, and compare those early promises in the earnest money contract with what's in the final deed.
Right, because even though the deed is supposed to be that final expression of the agreement, this case shows that the courts are willing to look beyond the deed in certain situations, especially when it comes to consumer protection.
Right, and I think this case also highlights the fact that the legal landscape is not static.
It's always evolving.
It's always evolving, yeah. And statutes like the DTPA, they can sometimes override those older common law principles, like the merger doctrine, when there's a clear intent by the legislature to protect consumers.
So it's like these statutes, they can kind of act as a check on those older, more rigid rules to make sure that the law keeps pace with, the realities of the marketplace and how business is actually conducted.
Exactly. And for those of you who are thinking about practicing law, this case is a great example of how these different areas of law, real estate, contracts, consumer protection, they can all kind of intersect in really unexpected ways.
So you got to be ready for anything.
You got to be ready for anything.
Well, I think this has been a really fascinating deep dive into Alvarado v. Bolton. Definitely a case worth, reading and thinking about carefully.
It's a good one.
So we'll leave you all with a question to ponder. Given that we see in this case the DTPA can sometimes override the merger doctrine, what other common law principles in other areas of law might be subject to similar challenges? Are there other areas where consumer protection statutes or really any kind of statute might bump up against those old, well-established common law doctrines? And how should courts navigate these situations where you've got these competing interests, on the one hand, upholding tradition and certainty, and on the other hand, protecting consumers and ensuring fairness in the marketplace?
Yeah, that's a great question. And something to keep in mind as you study the law and as you go out into the world and practice, it's not always black and white. There's a lot of gray area.
Absolutely. Well, that's all the time we have for today.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Thanks for joining us for another deep dive.
See you next time.
See you next time.